The map of the United States has not changed over the past half century, but demographics and other societal shifts are constantly redrawing the political map of the United States. Now, when Dwight Eisenhower ran for president in 1952, the Northeast and Midwest were Republican, the South was solidly Democratic. By the time Richard Nixon ran against Hubert Humphrey in 1968, just about the reverse had occurred, as white Southern voters opposed Democratic civil rights policies. The South has since pulled together to elect some Democrats to the White House. But last year, Al Gore of Tennessee didn't win a single Southern state. Most of the region's governors are Republican, as are a majority of its senators, and much of the Republican congressional leadership speaks with a distinctly Southern accent. But now political analysts in the United States and even abroad see some reasons to wonder whether the Republican hold on the region will persist. James Farwell is a political media consultant for Republican candidates. He recently completed a study of the Republican South for Cambridge University. Mr. Farwell joins us here in our studios. Thanks very much for being with us.
How are you today?
Cambridge, England, huh?
Cambridge, England.
how overwhelming is this dominance in the South as we speak?
Well, I think you can't just look at it as an overall picture. You have to divide it between presidential elections, elections for the U.S. House, and statewide elections for the Senate and for gubernatorial positions. Mm-hmm. And you'd get somewhat of a different conclusion depending upon which one that you looked at. You mentioned the presidency, and I think you pointed out correctly that the only Democratic candidates for president in the second half of the 20th century who have carried any Southern states have all been from the South. Lyndon Johnson did. Jimmy Carter in 1976 carried, I think, 11 Southern states. In 1980, that dropped back to one. Clinton did very well in both 1992 and in 1996. Al Gore did not carry a single one.
But let me point out something. Al Gore was damn near elected, and arguably he did win a Southern state, didn't he? That case can be made that he won Florida.
Well, certainly Al Gore thinks that. Some of the evidence that the New York Times has just recently published would suggest that, in fact, yeah. Bush probably
But if you're a demographer, Al Gore did win Florida. You can't afford to assume there'll be, you know, voting irregularities the next time around, right?
Well, I think that the important thing about Florida is that because of a lot of the immigration, both from abroad and from other states into Florida, Florida behaviorally is ceasing to behave like a traditional Southern state, and it's much more of its something onto itself.
People who spend time in the South these days, I'm talking about traditional Northerners, notice that in Georgia, in North Carolina, some of the same demographic shifts we've noticed that have been changing the literal complexion of Florida are going on in those states, too. Influx of Spanish-speaking voters, influx of Northern voters, organized gay populations. All of that tends to change the politics, doesn't it?
Yes, you're quite right about that. The exit data in the 2000 election showed, for example, in Georgia, that almost a quarter of the voters had moved there since 1990 and that there were distinct differences in the voting behavior among those voters who had moved to Georgia since 1990 and those who had lived there before 1990. President Bush carried quite decisively those voters who had lived in Georgia and in North Carolina since before 1990, but it showed that Al Gore carried those voters who had moved there since 1990, and that suggests that there is, even on a presidential level, that there is some difference. Where the difference has become much more marked, though, is less on the presidential level than when you begin to look at statewide races for the Senate and for governor, and there, depending upon the configuration of the races, you may or may not have much more competitive races.
Mm-hmm. So if you're advising a Republican on how to keep hold of the South, you have to make time with Hispanic voters in a way that perhaps you didn't consider 20 years ago.
I think that's true.
What about if you were advising Democrats? And I'm asking you for the free advice because I assume you won't get paid to advise any Democrats.
Well, of course, we're in the business of electing Republicans. I think the way to say it is this. It's important, I think, for anybody who wins to be able to project a sense of their individuality. What turns voters off is the sense that they sound just like everybody else and that they sort of begin to fit a stereotype. And the most successful leaders in any country are those who are able somehow to transcend that so that people get a sense that the qualities that have made them interesting as individuals have made them interesting and relevant as leaders. And that's a much more rare quality than I think one would like to believe is the case in American politics.
Are there any states or any political races over the next couple of years that you're going to be watching in particular?
The races that will get most of the focus will be Arkansas, where Tim Hutchison is running for re-election. In South Carolina is right now an open seat. The Democrats, interestingly enough, although they have the state house right now, have not found a viable candidate to run against Lindsey Graham, which at one level is a tribute to Lindsey Graham's political ability, but it also says something about the vacuum that has emerged in the Democratic Party, and it suggests that there is a fundamental weakness at the core of the Democratic Party in South Carolina, and it'll be interesting to see how they address that.
Looks like an interesting collection of candidates are stepping up, or at least want to, in Florida.
In the governor's race?
Yeah.
It does. That'll be a competitive race. Jeb Bush's greatest asset is his own record as governor. He's turned into a very good governor. It remains to be seen what happens in that cauldron in the aftermath of the 2000 festivities. It'll also be very interesting to see whether or not Janet Reno decides that she's actually going to be a serious candidate. The possibility for candidacy is giving heart failure to most of the Democratic consultants that I know, because she might just win the primary, and from a Republican point of view, that would be just fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that most of the Democratic consultants would prefer to see somebody else, and it'll be very interesting to see how that shakes out. Florida is something unto itself, and it just remains to be seen how those patterns emerge. I mean, it used to be, for example, that in looking at Hispanic votes, that one always thought of just Cubans, but of course there's been so much influx from Central America and increasingly from South America, and the behavior of those voters is not necessarily the same as Cubans, and so you have a very complex behavioral mix in voter attitudes there. It's fascinating to see how that's unfolding.
Mr. Farwell, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
James Farwell is a Republican media consultant. He heads the Farwell Group. Joining us here in our studios.